Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. You know, the psalmist says in Psalms 27 and verse 4 that one thing have I desired from you, O Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now he says, one thing have I sought, and one thing will I seek, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord and behold his beauty and inquire of him. Praise the Lord. Now the thing is, you see, when you come to the Lord, one thing. Of course, at the beginning, you come with so many things. But at the end, you realize there is one thing have you desired of the Lord. As you mature in it, you realize that there is just one thing have you desired of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is that you may dwell in his presence, behold his beauty, and inquire of him. And you say, if you give me that, that's all I want. Praise the Lord. So when you go to him, we don't say, one thing do I desire, that I may have wonderful houses or beautiful cars. No, he says, one thing have I desired. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the psalmist who, you know, had many things. But he says, only one thing have I desired from you, that I may be in your presence, behold your beauty, and inquire of you. Now, of course, usually when you desire that one thing and you go to his presence with that one desire, you find yourself without ever having desired, having so many other things which the world will look at and say, wow, he has this, he has that. And in their mind, they think that's what you desired. But in reality, you had no business desiring that. That just came as a fringe benefit of desiring the Lord. Praise the Lord. I says, one thing have I desired. Now, when you come to the Lord and it's one thing have you desired, you said, Jesus said that your heavenly Father knows that you have need for these things. So don't burden him with those things. He says, go to him with this attitude. One thing have I desired. Then ultimately you will find that the things which other people desire, they don't have. And for you, you have them because you went to the presence of God with one desire. One thing have I desired. Just one thing. That I may be with you. That I may know you. I may inquire of you. That I may behold your beauty. And that is the fulcrum of everything. That's the root of all your, you know, existence. Now, of course, you know, the word desire is a very powerful thing because it's so powerful that it rules the whole world. The world is ruled through desires. People end up this way or the other way based on what they desire. What is that thing that they desire? And you see, usually, I remember some lady came to me and was telling me that the Lord has appeared to her three times, like appearing to her, and she sees him. And then you ask her, what do you want of me? Then she said, I want to get a job and I want to get married. Then he looks at her and then goes. Then comes back after some time and asks the same question, and she actually gives him the same answer. Then he looks at her and goes. Now imagine somebody who has that desire, not that need, that desire, that I want a job. So when you get a job, what more do you want? That means you don't even need him after that. Then the third time he came and she answered the same way. And still he just left. Now you see, that shows the level of maturity that you have, because you have reduced him to something so small. Very, very small. Imagine you show up before a king and you ask for something so small, and he looks at you and says, that's what you want? Just that? Because he's the Lord, he's asking you what you want. And you say, I want a job and to get married. But how many people have jobs and are married? So do you look at them and you say, that's all I want? If I'm like that person, I'm finished. That's all. Now I can't even go to heaven. Really, that is a sign of absolute childishness. That shows that you've actually put something so small in front of you. Now the psalmist says, just one thing have I desired of you, that I may behold your beauty and dwell in your house. And that will I seek. But of course, everybody starts from that point of immaturity, of childishness, of where everything you want is of a material nature. and you've put something ahead of you so badly that you need it, and that's the only thing you can think about even in a scenario like that. But the truth is, as long as that thing is in front of you, you will not actually get it. You will get all the things you want this way. Praise the Lord. Now it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now if all these things have not been added to you, it means you're not seeking first. It's automatic. It's an equation. If A plus B equals C, then what? You know, calculate. So Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. If they have not yet been added, it means you're not yet seeking first. Maybe you're seeking second. But that is automatic. He said it will automatically come if you carry this attitude. That one thing have I desired. Just one thing. Give me that and I want nothing else. That I may dwell in your house. Imagine going to the Lord and you say, that's all I want. I just want to be here and behold your beauty and inquire of you. But Lord, what about this? What about this? And say, that's all I want. Then you get consumed with that. And then you find out that there are so many things which the world wants, which you have, and you don't even care about them because you're consumed with one thing, I just want to be there. Just one. So, and you see people who have been consumed by this. I've been told by people here who have, somebody told me that they've had all these experiences for so long that even when 1 week goes without them having something supernatural, they start saying, God, did I annoy you? Please forgive me. What have I done? You see, because there is something that they seek. And actually, you get in that place where even your relatives will tell you, what are you doing with your life? You're wasting your life. You're doing nothing with your life. But then for you, I say, no, you leave me alone. Okay? One thing have I inquired. One thing have I asked of the Lord. And then you're pursuing that. It says, and that will I seek. And I want to tell you that the word desire is a very powerful thing. Okay? Because people are drawn away by their desire. That's actually, James says that. Eh? James says in chapter 1, I think starting from verse 14 or somewhere thereabout, he says, start from verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, you see, when I used to read this, I would think the crown of life is when you go to heaven and they put a crown of you. No, there is a crown here in this life, okay, which you receive, and you endure temptation, you've gone through it, and then you receive a crown. And then everybody wants that crown, but they don't want the process that was involved in you getting that crown. That is the one thing have I sought. I'll tell you this, I believe I've told this story here before. I remember one day, at those days when everybody were concerned about what are you doing with your life. You wake up in the morning and there is nothing you're doing. You don't have a job. You don't have money for the most part. You're just surviving, you know? And somehow you're surviving. The way you see it. But there's nothing interesting happening in your life, so to speak. There's nothing of interest that somebody would look at and say, wow, you have a good life. But then the one thing that actually I would look forward to is the night. Because at night, when I would get home, and I would be home for the most part alone, I would reach home and, you know, do certain things. Sometimes maybe just to... some nights, if there's some football, you watch it, but it's just then when it is finished, I would get a chair and put it outside on my house, put it in a compound, and then start praying. And then I would pray myself into excitement, yet there's nothing exciting happening in my life from the outside. But somehow I would get excited by just being with the Lord, then you are. And then when you're praying, then you discover certain things which is teaching you in that process of praying. And then you're excited about that. And when somebody sees from the outside, everybody, including my mom, would say, but what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? And then I'm like, and sometimes if you listen to them very well, you actually start seeing that you're doing nothing. And you see, some people have despised that time, yet it is the most important time, the time when you're apparently doing nothing, when you're being prepared for something. But there's nothing yet. And you don't even know what you're being prepared for. But you just get caught up in this excitement of learning and of learning new things. Then when you hear anything, you go and you listen to any word that is of value. You go home and try to, you know, put it into action. You see, sometimes, let me tell you people, you remember what this Miriam told you last time? There is so many people here who will not see the grace that is upon their life because they sit down when the Lord expects them to be. There are those who are supposed to be learning, you know, and especially those who are where you're in that learning phase. But then there are people who will hear a very powerful word about, let's say, owning property. Then you finish and go home and sit and keep quiet. And then nothing is going to happen. You know, the book of James says that you are like somebody who goes and sees his picture, sees himself in a mirror. And as soon as you walk away, you forget what you look like. Isn't it? And now today I looked at myself in the mirror, but I no longer know what I look like. Because you've had something of value and you've not attached any meaning to it. Now, on the other hand, somebody will come and listen to a powerful word and say, this is what God is doing. You see, if you cannot be excited by a word of God, then you are, for instance, you say, now the other day, you know, the great prophet said, wealth and influence. Now me, I jump on that. Oh my God, you have no idea. Wealth and influence? You think I've stopped thinking about that ever since that day? I am a doer of the word. So everywhere I go, I'm seeing wealth and what? That's it. Now, if you cannot hear a word and get excited, when you're going to be in the same place all the time. Now, somebody says property. You don't even go and look at a good house, not even looking. There is no fee for looking. You just go home and sit and chill. And now you become like that person. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man who is observing his face in a mirror. Okay? Go ahead. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Okay? Now I looked and saw how my hair is. I don't know now. But a few minutes ago. So now somebody is going to hear something. You hear something powerful which is supposed to stir you up. Now, by the way, that's what Jesus was telling about. Is what? They said the people of this generation. Where he said that they play for you happy music, you don't dance. They play for you sad music, you don't mourn. Then he says, what kind of people are you? Now, do not be that kind of person. Okay? Then Jesus says that this generation, what do you want us to do? When, you know, you imagine you go to a place where they are playing good music and you sit there like this. The way I've had it seated. And people are looking at you, music is nice. And I'm giving this as, Jesus is the one who gave this. You look for that thing. And then, let's start from the previous verse. But what shall I liken this generation? It's like a children sitting in marketplaces and calling to their companions. Okay? And saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. So what kind of person are you? So you go to a funeral and they are playing sad music. You're like, you go to they are playing good music. You're still the same. So now, that's how these people are. Where somebody tells you a very powerful word and you just listen to it. And you're so unmoved. And by the way, what do you think the Bible means when it says ever learning but never able to come to the what? To the knowledge of the truth. That is it. Because the knowledge of the truth has some, there is always a corresponding action to the knowledge of the truth. If you know something, you have to prove that you know it. Okay? And the proving, and by the way, the proof of the word is in the testing, is in the temptation, as it says there. The temptation comes to prove to you what is in your heart, whether it's good or bad. Now, one of those days when I was in my home doing apparently nothing, but when I was enjoying myself, I would enjoy myself. There was nothing. There was no ministry. There was no watchman. There was nothing. Nothing. I was just there doing nothing. Amen? And inquiring of the Lord, being in the beauty of what? Now the people used to tell me I'm doing nothing, asking me, but where do you get all these things from? Now what am I supposed to tell them? From nothing. Now, so there are people here who are doing nothing, but actually I see them, and I see they are moving distances in the spirit. Now when something breaks forth, it is so sudden, and everybody looks at you and thinks, but they don't know that this has been built. Now, one of those days when I would excite myself. So I finished praying. Must have been around 3:30 in the morning. And then I went to sleep. And I was excited about nothing. So I go to sleep. Now, when I lie on my bed and I close my eyes, but I'm awake. But I'm fully awake, but my eyes are closed. Then I feel a presence of somebody next to me. And then that person asks, very clearly and loudly and actually audibly, you know, where I hear with my ears, not with the ears of the spirit, audibly, and asks, so what can I do for you? Now, I mean, the timing, imagine you've just been praying, you're excited, then they come and say, what can I do for you? So I supposed that it was the Lord, because, I mean, who else would come after I've been what? Praying. Then I said, I just want to know how to please you. He says, that it? I said, that's it. Then the next minute, and now that's interesting thing about the devil never hides himself for long. As soon as I said that, the next minute, he was on my neck. You traitor, what? Then I realized, hey, it's not the Lord, it's the devil. So I told him, you get out of here, I want to sleep. But then, you realize that that is the worst answer you can give him, because he knows you've gotten to a certain level of love of the Lord, that there is no desire that is going to tempt you. You see? Because there are so many things I could have said. Now, thinking as it was, that it was the Lord. Imagine, if I knew it was the Lord who was asking. Imagine the number of things I could have said. I am there, I don't even know where I'm going to get breakfast from. And it's a few hours away from breakfast. So apparently I have nothing. So, but then the guy says, but then he started strangling me, but of course, like, and saying very, very, very terrible words, as if like you're such a stupid fool, and you know. So I just told him, Satan, get out of here in Jesus' name. Then the hands got off my neck and he left. And I slept. Now, blessed is the man who endured, because those temptations come to reveal what is actually in your heart. What really, really is in your heart. Now, because they can come, I'll tell you, for instance, in the book of, in Exodus chapter 33, after God telling Moses, I'm taking you to the promised land, I'm taking you to a promised land, promised land, promised land, promised land, promised land, promised land, land flowing with milk and honey, and tree. Then in Exodus 33, actually when they were supposed to be around about, then the Lord comes and tells him, but you people are very stiff-necked and very stubborn. I've decided that now let me just give you my angel to take you to the promised land and drive out those people. But I'm not coming with you, because you are very stiff-necked people. If I come with you, I might just get angry and consume all of you in one move. And now that's Exodus 33. And then... Then so many people would say, okay, you don't have to come, as long as for us you what? We arrive there, it's okay. Send your angel. We are good with that. Moses said, no. If you are not coming with us, then if you're staying here in the desert, then we shall stay here with you. We are not going anywhere unless you're coming with us. And now that was, I remember the first time I read that, I was like, man, this man really had gotten somewhere. Because you've been in the desert, moving around, around, wandering, doing nothing. Okay? Then he comes with a proposal. Okay, you can get to go. But I'm not there. Then he says, no, it's okay. If you are not there, we shall be here in the desert with you. Forget about the land flowing with what? Milk and honey. For us, we just want to be with you. Then he says, for how shall the rest of the what? How shall the people know that we are your people unless you come with us? And man, that was some answer. And you see, everybody at some stage has to go through that. Everyone. I remember in the book of 2 Samuel, you know, the other day, just the other day, David had a promise from God that he's going to be king. Do you know how he knew he was going to be king? He was anointed by some prophet. And do you know where the prophet was? The prophet had even died. And David is there meandering. Imagine meandering in the wilderness with some 600 soldiers who he would even struggle to feed. And then he has done nothing wrong. But then, the person whom he's supposed to take over as king from, who is dreadfully scared of him, comes looking for him in the desert. The king leaves his palace and comes looking for David in the desert. Now, God did something. He made Saul, with what, 3,000 people moving with him. 3,000 people. The man must have been a coward. Have you seen these convoys of 42 cars with a toilet and what? That was like Seoul. Eh? Where they block cars when somebody is still bathing. Queens, where the cars are blocked, the guy is still in the bathroom in Entebbe. Anyway, let's leave that. But you kind of expect that from me, don't you? So the man moved with 3,000 people, guarding him, going to kill David. And then he enters a cave with all his people and enters inside there. And the Bible says that a sleep from the Lord fell on what? on all of them, all the 3,000 men. And David was actually in the same cave on the inside. So now when David is coming out, he comes and finds the guys all asleep. All of them. Imagine you have a convoy like that and they all fall asleep. And they all sleep, even you sleep. Then David comes and gets the king's sword. And then his people tell him that this is the moment the Lord has told you about. That he's going to deliver your enemies into your hands. Now just finish off this man. After all, he actually came here to kill you. And David says, no, I will not kill the anointed of the Lord. So he just gets his sword and leaves. When they wake up, he stands at a distance. And then he calls out to him and says, why do you let people deceive you that I'm after you? I'm not after you. You see, here is your sword. If I wanted, I would have killed you. And do you know what Saul said? That's what amused me the most. Saul said, now I know you're going to be king. Because you've proved that you're better than me. Because he said, now I know for sure. And even said, but when you become king, please promise you will not kill my family. We imagine that this man is the king. But he has done pulled the move where the king says, okay, the fact that you refuse to kill me shows that, okay, now I know you are more deserving of. So, but how many people of you would pass that test? You know, you would enjoy the Bible if you start reading it and putting yourself there. If it's not just a story, if you start reading and putting yourself where? There is Saul. Finish him off. Praise the Lord. And would it? I'm not kidding. The Lord's anointed. I might say, eh? But how sure I am that he's the Lord's anointed? You just give me that sword, man. Because of course it had to be spectacular for all the men to sleep, and the Bible says the sleep of the Lord, and the Lord did it on purpose to just test David. Let's see if you want the kingdom so badly that you're willing to do this. And David says, okay, I want the kingdom, but not this badly. I esteem the commandment of God more than the kingdom. And then that sets him apart. And even his enemy says, I know you're going to be king. I cannot defeat you. Can you imagine? Praise the Lord. So what I was saying, go back to that James. After he has endured temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Go ahead. Let no one say that he is tempted. When he is tempted, that I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his what? Now, that's the key thing there. That's why it says desire. One thing have I desired. Because a desire is different from what you want. A desire is something that is you really, really want. And I've seen people who have desires. And you look at them and say, this person is headed in a very bad place. Because you can see there is one thing they have put ahead there. It doesn't matter the Lord and what. So he says, each one is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, people are ruled by their desires. So somebody who does not know how to tame his desires, one way or another, ends up, you go to Genesis 3:16. He says, Genesis 3:16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. By the way, do you know that these things have been reversed? You understand? But not for everybody, not for every woman. In Timothy, he says, anyway, let me not go there, because people will be angry. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in your and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Now, he says, your desire shall be for your husband and he will rule over you. Now, don't think about this in terms of husband and wife. That's not why I'm here. So you keep your feminist demons down. Okay? I am just here to tell you that he's saying that the desire is what rules over you. You understand? I'm just trying to connect the two words, desire and what? Rule. Forget the other things of man and woman. Eh? Those ones, that's your business. Okay? Because you see now some feminists will say, you see, chauvinist, I'm not coming back to Watchman. Guess what? Don't come. But I'm just trying to show you something. And here, the only word I wanted, you know there are so many people who give ultimatums. That if you don't answer my call again, I've gone. There's a time I used to automatically say, don't, I'm not even going to call, now go. But these days I'm a bit more. So I said, no call, I will answer. Not diplomatic. You know, man of God, Those days I used not to anyway. The Lord has humbled me. Eh? Praise the Lord. Because some people really want to be kweguyad. And like, sometimes we kweguyad. Now, we please, don't go. The Lord loves you. Anyway, your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. Now, the words there I want actually, the two words I want there is your desire will do what? Rule over you. Now, the devil is a master at creating desires. Because all the people who serve him, he puts in front of them a desire. Something which you want this. How badly do you want it? How badly do you want this? Then he starts dragging you. Dragging you. I remember I was listening to that woman, some lady who says was like former, probably had her. And she was saying they were in the underworld with some big, big celebrities and so on. And the devil told them that, okay, you know, okay, that kagai can kujoga man. He told them that none of you is here because you love me. You're here because I deceived all of you. But now he knows they cannot leave because he has somebody, they have some desire which they want from him, either for fame or for money or for what. And now that he's driving them. And he said, I deceived all of you. And said, yes, you deceive us. Just give me that fame. Hey, by the way, one of my daughters here told me how she had a dream about some top Nigerian musician who is hitting the charts. But in a dream, he came to her and he was very miserable. Very miserable. Now, she did something. He said that, you don't know what I had to give to get this thing and so on. And usually after giving it, you realize it was never worth it. Okay? The devil is a sadist. He's the ultimate sadist. There is nothing he gives which you will ever enjoy. Nothing. Nothing. Okay? Nothing. The people who seem to be, but who get anything from him are the ones who are the most miserable people on earth. So, now in the dream, she played this music. And then he said, stop, don't play that. I hate that music. I hate it. But now everybody is dancing to it. But the man who sang it says, I hate that music. I don't want to hear that music. Never play that music when I'm here. His own music. And then he says that, man, I need help. What can I do? You people, please help me. And now here is a top person. And here is a very young girl. And they say, help me. Then she sent me the dream and said, Baba, am I supposed to pray for him or what? It was more important that she doesn't play his music. If the man who played it doesn't like it, what business do you have playing it? Huh? Praise the Lord. So, what was I saying? So he said that everyone is drawn away by a desire. By a desire. Now you get to a point when you are too in love with God that there is nothing the devil can offer you that is of any importance whatsoever. Nothing. Absolutely. First of all, there is nothing he can offer you which you are not going to get in the Lord. Amen? But then, even if you were not going to, you say, it's okay. That's okay, I will not get it, but this is the thing now. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. Before I go into this scripture, let me tell you this. Remember that in Daniel chapter 1, the captives of Judah were brought to Babylon. Captives who included Daniel and his friends. And they were brought to Babylon and taken into the king's care. Because they had tested them and seen they are very intelligent people. And the king wanted to use them to further, you know, the kingdom. So they taught them the language of the Chaldeans. They taught them the custom. In other words, they educated them. They took them through school and taught them in everything. And then, while they are in school, they give them a portion of the king's delicacies. The same wines and the same meats and everything that the king takes. They take the same. Now, I mean, that's interesting because imagine you're a captive, a slave, a captive of Judah. You are in Babylon because your kingdom was run over by the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And now you're there being trained and you're eating the same food which the most powerful man in the world is eating. But then these people say, why are they giving us this food? And there's a reason why. Because the first thing the devil, he wants to give you an appetite for something you cannot sustain. So he gives you a desire. So he said, no, we'll not take it. We'll take vegetables and what? And water. Because we can afford vegetables and water outside of this. Because when somebody captures you and puts you in a place where you cannot live, you cannot continue existing unless he's the one who provides for you. Then now your desire is controlling you. It rules. Genesis 3:16. Your desire rules over you. And actually, that's what it says. The one thing that tempts everybody is their desire rules over you and then takes a hold of you. And then you suddenly you can no longer think because somebody came, some man gave you a car which you cannot afford, put you in an apartment you cannot afford, and gave you an appetite, and your fridge is always full. And guess who is ruling? Eh? Praise the Lord. He has, you're finished. They are going to rule over you. Because if you bring matatizo, they say you go back to your slum. Now, how many of you, here, will say, I'm not going to that apartment. Leave me here. Here I can handle myself. Okay? Because you are taking me to a place where I cannot sustain myself, and you are going to rule over me. Remember Genesis 3:16, your desire will rule over you. Now, of course, this is not a general rule. Eh? That man can be a good man who wants nice things for you and is, you know, blah, blah, blah. You see, eh? But I'm just giving you an example that you can understand. Where somebody has total control over you, and the hook that they use is your desires. They don't use anything else. Your desires. Shoo, you want this. Is that what you want? Okay. Shoo. Then they pull you. And then now you're walking like this with a hook in your neck because of your desires. Now, that's why Daniel and his friends said, we don't want your delicacies. For us, we'll eat. You may find actually that's what they were eating in Judah. So he said, let us eat our vegetables and water. And God does even a miracle, and they turn out looking healthier with the vegetables and water than the people who are eating the delicacies. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Okay, go ahead. And says, then when desire has conceived. Now imagine this. Desire, and I've seen things like this. I wish I could say some of this, but where you see somebody is pregnant with a desire which is going to take them down completely. I remember there's some man of God who said that he was building some big church. And then he met a certain other man of God from Nigeria who told him, forget about this church. This church is going to kill you. Because he saw that maybe he was going to have to step out of his capacity to get to this. So he told him, the other man of God in Nigeria who told him that was the man called Archbishop Benson Didausa. He said, forget this church. Leave this church alone. He had just put the foundation. He said, forget about it. It's going to kill you. But this man of God said, you're joking. So when he finished and the roofing was done and everything was okay, then he comes and says, they told me this church is going to kill me. But here I am. I'm not dead. But he had now entered homosexuality. Now, the only way that he had lost it completely of a church. And the other man saw it and said, you don't have the capacity to do this. You leave it. But now he says, I'm not dead. But you are. In a certain other way. And by the way, the death can mean even the death of your ministry, the death of what. But sometimes it can even mean total spiritual death. And you took on something which was bigger than you. Then it says now, and then when desire has conceived, imagine it starts as, you know, then it conceives and grows inside the womb. It gives birth to seed. Praise the Lord. Now, there are some people who think let me tell you this. When you read this, you see sometimes the lens with which you read. When you read, it gives birth to sin. You see, you can describe sin as so many things. But then sin is something that cuts you off from the flow of God, from the presence of God, from something which you were going. God is taking you slowly, sometimes not slowly, but you think slowly, and the enemy can come and actually divert you and kill you. I'll tell you this. How do you think people are destroyed? For the most part, by giving them things which are outside of their ability to control. For instance, do you know that these kingdoms in Uganda here used to mine iron ore and make weapons and all sorts of things before the Bazungu came? Now we import even needles. How did they achieve that? How did they kill our small progress? They just come and say, you are making your spears, you are making powerful things, then they just come and give you a gun, which is beyond you. But maybe in 20 years you would have made that gun. But somebody brings it to you now. And then even the spears used to make, you can't make. Now it takes Chinese to mine iron ore in Kabad, in Chigezi.
Yet 150 years ago, our ancestors used to mine iron ore and to make spears and other, you know, and they were craftsmen who would craft all sorts of things. But somebody just comes and you're walking like this and he just makes you jump here. Now suddenly you're dependent. Now even needles, we import them. Even toothpicks. And it all became because of development. No, it is not development. It is stagnation. Because you were going at your pace, mpola, you know? And you were heading somewhere. You could have ended up somewhere. We could have had a very powerful civilization. But then somebody comes and gives you something artificial. Now, that is always how it happens, by the way. And the enemy always uses things which are beyond you. He tries to push you so that now you can no longer stand. Because the Lord takes you faith by faith. Okay? Faith by faith. And some people, the scripture says we grow from faith to what? To faith. And some people think that that's a stupid thing. And also, there are even some men of God who are experts at making people blow out of their capacities. I remember some man of God came and told me, and the man of God, that you should not be driving this car. So I told him, which car should I be driving? He's in my office. Eh? I told him, which car should I be driving? Then he describes for me the car. Then I say, okay, that's good. He says, no. You are now at your level. Don't let people deceive you with such stupidity. Okay? Amen? The car is telling me to drive. He's not driving it. He should be listening to me rather than me, him talking to him. You know, there are some people who are stupid. So, you are telling me you don't even have what I have. You are in my office. You don't even have an office. But there are so many people who are overthrown by those things. Now, of course, if the thing, okay, maybe it was also, because you know there was a time, the truth is I'm not very, very, you know, about cars. There are people who love cars. Eh? You understand? Eh? Who you see, and that's okay. Perfect, okay. But now I'm not one of them. I remember there was some rich man who used to be my friend, and he would go, he had cars, you know, which they would make for him, and where they measure even his foot length and what. So the leg is not, I mean, the chair is not adjustable because they measured it to him. You can't drive it, okay? And even opens it by touch. So he went to demonstrate to me. I remember we were in Entebbe. Does that hotel, so he was parked outside. Then he said, come later, come and I show you something. So he took me outside. So I see the, the Benz. Then he touches. Then all the things open. Then I say, where are the keys? Then he laughs. Okay? Then he sits in the car and just... Vroom, 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 vroom. Then he says, come later, those keys are for you. You jokers, you be there with your what? With your keys. For me, now, what I found interesting is that actually I was supposed to be very impressed. Because it was impressive. But I don't know, maybe because I'm not that passionate about cars. He was even disappointed at the way I was behaving. I said, hey, so he doesn't have a key, okay. Then I realized I didn't want to disappoint him. So I changed my attitude. I said, but wow. But I actually didn't mean it. So I said, wow, this is some kind of car. So how, what did he do? Then he said, then he showed me how, you know, all the mats had his names. Then even opens and shows me how the dashboard has, I mean, forget the dashboard. Dashboard had his name. But even the engine chassis also had his names. And say, I had to go to Stuttgart to order for this car. And I'm like, wow. But the truth is, I wasn't wowed. But maybe there are things which you can bring and they wow me. But for some reason, cars are not... Anyway, so this guy comes and is telling you... I hope he's not listening to this. That man, but I know he's not. Anyway, so this guy... So, you know, you should be driving this car. What? Now, if I go down that rabbit hole of what? Like... By the way, I wasn't even driving this car. I was driving one which was worse. There was one which I was driving which even would put smoke here when I'm leaving fellowship. You remember it? Eh. But yet, actually, I was unmoved. Eh? I was unmoved. Actually, it is Roger who told me, man. Eh? This Roger told me, Papa, man. Eh? That when you are leaving fellowship, the car did smoke up. And now there was the whole fellowship was covered with smoke. Eh? And me, I didn't know I was somewhere enjoying my cappuccino. So when he told me, I actually started thinking about it. Eh?
and said, ah. Then actually the Lord also did what? Told me that, ah, man, stirred up a bit. Eh? So then I did. But then, now, imagine that guy, I go and believe it. And now so many people have been overthrown. So many people among you have been overthrown by things like that. You go and get excited, and then they take you out from your pursuit. God is taking you. You are going to get, you're going to go places. You're going to be big. None of you is going to be small here. You understand? None, not a single one of you. Like God is taking you pace by pace. Now imagine if I tried to put up something like this 5 years ago. We would be in debt. We could not afford it. But now we can. Now you're starting your ministry. You want it to be like this. You put yourself in trouble. Okay? From faith to what? From faith to faith. So now, let nobody overthrow your faith by giving you targets which are beyond you. And by the way also, the Lord is good at giving targets. Okay? Because he tries to push you. And now you've stayed here too long. Now it's time for you to what? To move on. Move on. But when you, and when you sense, now there's somebody, that same man, he went, came and found somebody who was driving, you know, what are those small cars called? Raum. Hey. Now there's some friend of mine whom I was there. I didn't even have a car. So I told him, I want to get a car. And he said, which? I said, I can't even a Raum. He said, now I'm talking to Raum. Then I said, why? You know, like my thing with cars. I said, why? And he said, no, don't. So I wanted to know what is his reason. Eh? So I told him, why? What's wrong with it? He said, it's going to take me where I'm going. Then he told him, I didn't get a car. People have problems, man. But then I did get the Raum, eh? But I got the other which was spewing smoke. But I didn't get it when it was spewing smoke. By that time, I'd driven it for like over 3 years. But also the Lord wanted me to also what? Stir it up. But anyway, so this guy comes and finds somebody driving a Raum and says, you deserve a better car. You need a better car. So that Raum. You saw the Raum. And 5 years after that, you don't even have a Raum. Do you know why? You are not at that level of faith. Amen? There are things which you go at the pace of the Lord. Okay? Now get rid of this car. There is another one coming. When you are at the pace of the Lord, it will not take long. It will come. You understand? And when you follow him, because you are at that level of faith, you don't give something when you are not at the level of giving at that level. Amen? A time will come when you even saw a house. But now you saw a house, then you go and rent for the next 10 years. Then you know the Lord was not in it. Praise the Lord. You know that somebody pushed you and excited you. You know what? Then you get excited. Ma'am, yeah, I don't like those things of excitement. I know I've seen people here go from step to step. And I've followed people's progress going from step to step. And I see they are going places. Amen? Because I don't see with the natural eyes. And I remember, I was saying, somebody came to my office and was like very, very, very broke. And I said, I told her, you have the prosperity anointing on you. You have the prosperity. I was not seeing with natural eyes. There was nothing there to see. And even now, she's a partner, but yeah, they are there, but improving, okay? Getting to places. And I know that ahead are great things. I know. But now if I say, so that car. So this, the truth is, all everyone here who comes and listens to me, and even those on radio and everywhere, I'll tell you that I have to give account for them on the day of judgment. If you go and do stupid things like those, and you mess up people's lives, you'll have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? And Jesus said that all the people you gave me, I've not lost any one of them. Because for him, he was judging himself by what? By people. He says, the people in John 17, the people you've given me, I've not lost any one of them. Now, if the Lord gives you somebody, and you go and carelessly, you know, of course, some of them will go of their own. Those ones, that's their business. But I do not want to have had anything to do with it. Where, you know, if you want to go, you go. Okay? Let's go back to sin. When it has conceived, it gives birth. Desire gives birth to sin. Okay? And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Now, that's the other man said, we finished the church, but I'm not dead. But he might be. Okay?
because you have this big project. So now you see, if it is not, now you're going all over the world, then what? Then you are going to accept money from all sorts of people, including, those reprobates. And that's how they trapped so many people, by the way. They trapped so many people by just giving them money. I remember a pastor told us, he went and he was buying a piece of land and building a church. And so a guy told him that, how much money do you need? He said, we need $25,000 to finish. Then the guy said that he wrote a check of $50,000. And now the pastor was the one telling me himself. Then he passed it across the table like this. You take that. Then the guy was like, wow, this is twice what we need. So now we are going to do this and this. Then the guy told him that, but that money is for my brothers, the homosexuals. I hope you don't mind. Then the pastor told me, pushed the check back. See, I mind. Because there is no free lunch. You understand? Eh? So you're building. So you think they are going to give you money to build a church for Diruch? There has to be an end result in it for them. So this one was wise enough, at least from the story he told me. But I know it's true because I know where that would have ended. If he had taken that money, I know where it would have ended. And I know he's not there. So I know he was not lying. He sent this back. Sue said, take the money. I mind where it is coming from. And this man was offended. That door was cut off. He never was called back there and so on. But sometimes those are the prices you have to pay for sticking. But don't let the desire to finish a build, to do this, to do what I want you to grow so much bigger than your desire for God. Let me tell you this. When your desire, your cardinal number one desire is for the Lord, there is nothing the devil can do to you, nothing. Because the only way he entices is what? Desire. He gives you some desire which is outside of the Lord. Now, when he comes and asks you what you want, and you say, I just want to please you, Lord. He says, now look at this clown. Because he knows he has no handle. He wants to pick you, but there is nowhere to what? To hold. Because where you would have held is your desire. But now there is nothing. There is not a single desire I can have that is more than my desire to serve, like to please God. It is not there. Okay? And everything. And I know I would be pursuing this one thing. Do I want to be in your house? And I will be getting so many other things. That is how the Lord works. You don't even have to want those things. He would even force some of them on you. And people are angry. How can you have all these cars and what? I'm not talking about myself, but when you, I'm talking about you when you have all these cars. Then you wake up and say, should I drive this one or this one? Eh? I said, this one needs washing. This one, people know it a lot. This one, I think let me go with this one. And then people are like, can you imagine? You have what? There are poor people on earth. Poor people, they will be fine. Okay? Because you see, some people want you to take away your joy from enjoying what the Lord has given you by reminding you about what? When will he enjoy? When poor people are not there? When will that be? Let me tell you. Have you ever gotten a poor person and tried to preach to them these things? There is a time I spoke on radio and said that, now, if you want to know how to get money in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, come to me. Then a certain prophet, who was there trying to entertain Kenya things, what, came to my office. Then he said, you said this, tell me. Then I looked at him and I realized he's nowhere near even being in position to even listen to what I'm saying. He's so far away from it. So I said, no, just continue praying. The Lord will watch. Because sometimes you look at somebody and you know they are not ready for what you are going to tell them. They are absolutely not ready. So I just confused him. What? Then he left saying, I even thought you are going to tell me anything serious. There is nothing serious. There is nothing serious because you are not serious. But there are others who have come, by the way. Others who have come. And because I went through a process of the Lord teaching me certain things. The others who came and I would tell them, this is what you should do. And within, now, those who are not hearers of the word, but doers, within 6 months, somebody comes and their life has changed by just this. And the person comes and says, that day when I came and met you, I determined I'm not going to be in this place again. That's 6 months. Actually, that's even, there's one who was even more less than that. Because they are not hearers, they are doers. Now some of you will tell you, God wants to release property. Then you say, hey, property, but let's first have this tea. Then you first enjoy your tea. By the time you reach home, you've even forgotten. You've not even inspected even one car house. Go and inspect. What do you have to lose? What is there to lose? Go and say, man, Lord, if you give me this house, I'll be happy. Eh? Just chimurekere and move on and go back to your muziko. But at least when you put something on God's desk, eh? That God, I want that. Because now you have nothing on his desk. How many of you have inspected properties in the last 1 month? Be honest. You see. But the word went forth. So your issue is not even on his desk. So when he comes to sit and look at the inbox, there is nothing. He looks around, he sees Kableta. He says, this one, okay. Then he looks here, he sees somebody. Then he looks for Abraham, he's nowhere. Then he says, now look at this guy. Don't you? Now, go and look at it, like it, admire it, put it before him and say, you said through the other man of God. Eh? And I believe that. So now this is what I want. Now it is on his desk. Then move on. Some of you are even scared to inspect good properties. They don't know you don't have money. You go smart. There's a guy I know who was in Dubai. They even got a convoy of Mercedes for him. He told them, now this is what the kind of thing we are looking for. He doesn't even have even the ticket they bought for him to go to Dubai. They took him to but you know, because they are selling property, but he's expanding. He's what? He's borrowing vessels. Some of you don't know how to borrow. He's borrowing vessels. He's looking, saying, man, this is, you cannot come back the same. You might not get those ones, but you'll funza one here at least. You cannot remain the same. Praise the Lord. Okay.
James chapter 1, start from verse 5. Start from verse 5. Okay, 6. 6, 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Okay, go ahead. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Go ahead. I mean that man who is, eh? For he's double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, go ahead. You know, James was very tough. Eh? Man, I've never seen a New Testament book with so much tough language. Eh? Man, yeah, you know, James was the brother of Jesus. Eh? This is not the James who was the disciple of Jesus. That one was killed by Herod. You remember? Now, this is James, the brother of Jesus. He was one of Jesus' blood brothers. Okay, and Jude, who wrote the epistle of Jude, was also one of Jesus' what? Natural brothers in the flesh. Then it says, you ask. Eh? First, go back earlier. Start from chapter 4, verse 1. Start from verse 1. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure? That war in your members? Imagine wars coming from desires for pleasure. Then he says, go ahead. Then he says, you lust and you do not have. Now there's a difference between lusting and wanting. You understand? Eh? Lusting is anything you put ahead of God. Then that is lust. But if you want a good house, a good car, and you say, God, you're going to give me this, this would really make me happy. If I put my kids in this car and take them to school, life is going to be good. You think the Lord does not want you the best for you? You know, he says, you've put it on his desk. So at least it's on his in tray. Very soon it will be in the outward. Then we see you driving the car. Okay. You lust, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now I want you to look at this. He's writing this to a church. You murder and covet, and these things happen in the churches. You get angry at somebody who has something. You want what? Where do they get? Then you get. But he says you ask and you do not receive because you what? You ask amiss, okay? That you may spend it on your pleasures. Okay. Now I wanted to bring this so that you don't understand this. Your pleasures does not mean you ask to stay in ask a house so that you spend it on your pleasures. There's like that's not what he means. He means that pleasures which supersede. Where you want something more than you want God. Okay? Now, when you want God more than anything, you will get everything. That's why he says you ask amiss. When you sort this thing of your desire is for him, he desires for you to have the what? Wonderful things. Otherwise, why would you ask for something if you're not going to spend it on your pleasures? Would you ask for a house so that you just look at it? No. So that you stay in it and enjoy it. Now, so these are some of the things which you have to understand that. Desire is the hook that takes people away from. Never let any desire develop in you
that is bigger than your love for God. And sometimes those desires have even been put there by God. Who promised Moses to go to the promised land? God. But he wanted to see if his desire for the promised land is bigger than his desire for him. Who promised David to be king? But he tests you to see, do you want to be king so much? So, how much do you want to be king? Say, ah, Lord, not enough to disobey your commandment. If I'm not king, it's okay. He says, oh, so you love me more than king. Okay? Man, that's a very powerful thing. That's it. Because God gives you promises, and the devil uses those promises to bring you down. Sometimes. Because I've said this story before, but I like it because it is so important, and this is how so many things work. And I heard it from Joyce Meyer when she said that the Lord had showed her how she's going to be, you know, preaching to all these people, have a big ministry, a worldwide ministry, in other words, everything that she currently has. But she had seen it before there was anything. And God had told her about it before there was anything. Then when she's there, still having a small Bible study like this, meanwhile, he puts in you a desire. God. Philippians 2:12. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, you read that. I'm not going to read it. Then now go to verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will, to desire. Okay? And then to do for his good pleasure. I was talking to some lady yesterday who was telling me that, you know, I told the Lord that, please, I can do anything you tell me to do, but please don't tell me to go and preach on the street. Then I told her that if you don't like it, it's because God does not want you to do it. If he wanted you to do it, he would give you that desire. And every time you pass the street, you'd want to preach. You understand? Eh? Like, he first works in you the desire. Now, you cannot want to be a worship leader. God cannot call you to be a worship leader. And you say, I don't feel like it. No, he will first make you age. You look at worship leaders. And I remember the first time I saw somebody preaching end time at KPC. Some guy who came from New Zealand. Man, I was like, wow. Now, I wasn't working. I was staying with my sister who was working. I told her, they said they were selling tapes of his messages. I told her, please buy for me those tapes. I listened to those tapes back to back to back to back until I could preach those messages word for word. Why? Desire, eh? You see. Now, if you are not called to preach, then you will just listen and go away. You understand? But for me, it was like something woke up in me. So now he says it is him who works in you, first of all, to desire. Everything that he's calling you to do, the first thing you do, the first thing he does is he makes you want it. Okay? Now, when you want it, now you start pursuing it. That's what it means, who works in you both to will, to want, to desire, and then eventually to do according to his good pleasure. So I was telling you this story as I finished. So now this lady comes and so she's expecting big things and so on. Then some gentleman comes and tells her that, you know what I'm going to do for you? I want to be your promoter. I am going to get for you places, powerful places to preach. You'll be preaching to thousands of people, you know, and all those things. Now, if you have not been called to be a preacher, those things might sound like, why would anybody be attracted to that? Because you're not called to be a preacher. But if you're called to be a preacher, the will, the desire, he works in you to what? To will. So you want it. He's the one who told you about it. He's the one who put it in you. But you then somebody comes and promises, I will give you this. Don't worry. Let's sign this deal. I'll take you to be preaching these places. We shall share the kawewayo. Of course, that's what it all comes out to. And so on and so forth. So she listened to him. He's promising her things which she wanted and which the Lord had put in her. But she said she wasn't very comfortable about it. So she went home and said, I will think about it. So she went home. Immediately she went home, she realized she's supposed to say no, and that was not what the Lord wanted. So she called the man and said, I'm sorry, I will not sign that contract. I don't think I want to get into that with you. Now this is how the Lord works, man. As he will leave it up to you. As soon as she had given her answer and turned the man down, the Lord said, thank you very much. You made a good decision. He says, now, this is what that man was going to do to you. He was going to control you. He was going to mess up your ministry. You were never going to get what I promised you to get.
And he said that that was going to be a big, big mistake. Thank you for making the right decision. Then he told her that, don't worry, I will be your promoter. Now, wouldn't be seeing that powerful ministry if she had made that decision. Do you understand? But now, God said, I will be your promoter. And you, nobody can promote you better than God. Now, she got all the things God promised her without going down the path of. Now, always, that's how the devil works. Because he jumps on your desire. He uses your desire. I want to preach to her and to have a powerful ministry. He says, hey, okay, that's what you want. Okay. You know, I have a deal for you. I can get you there. You go down that road, you're finished. But you go on God's pace, at his pace, you get there. And you get there with peace. You understand? With peace and joy and, you know, the joy of the Lord with you. Now imagine if David had killed Saul. He would have become king. But it would not have been the same. You understand? That's why David, God says, a man after my heart. Because he says, this one, you know, he would not have been the special person he is. You know those things, they have effects in eternity. So, okay, you want to be king? Go and be king. I promise you to be king. But somehow it's not the same. Now here he becomes king by the way of God. And then God establishes him. And everything is nice. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father. Pray in tongues, everybody. You sit down so that I see properly. I was seeing somebody called Chibirige. Is anybody called Chibirige? Is anybody here called Chibirige? Just pray in tongues, everybody. Rosa Television, Ramazan Television, Ramazan Television, Shakhazit, Shakhazit, yes and no. Yes and no. So it is like those
it's a gig economy. Gig economy.
Gig?
Yes.
Because God is giving you now a really permanent job. That's even better than the one you had. And not gig. Like better than the one you had. And Rikamazan Televeshov from Azoto. In the next 1 month, And even somebody whom you wanted and ran away, fled because you were doing nothing. I don't know if you take her back, but maybe you'll have found better things. But you've been having a desire to relate. And God is fulfilling that desire as well. Now that person will even pray that God touches you to give a second chance. First come.
If
first day there. Okay, now, your financial situation, there's a great blessing coming upon you. Your financial situation changes completely because there have been questions, why is this, why so long, why is it, you know, why has it taken this long, and so on. But now, and by the way, there is something which I said here which related to you about somebody making you take giant steps. Is that true? Okay. Now, it's okay. I didn't want you to confuse my signal. Okay? So now, a complete turning around of your financial situation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And even all the pressure you've gotten from your people at home, who think you've wasted your, you know, this, that. You have to confound so many people. And those people who have been speaking ill of you, I'm talking about your relatives and so on, and people around you are going to be totally confounded. And you're going to have the confounding grace. So that everybody who now spoke and said, now what are you doing? You've wasted your life. Haven't they been saying that? Is it true?
It is true.
Okay. And now all those people are going to be totally, completely confounded. Because in a very short space, it turns around and the joke is on them.
Amen.
The joke is on them when they come to you for help. Yet apparently you are the one who is doing nothing. And I'm seeing specific people who have really, really been on your case. I'm seeing especially two ladies been really, really on your case, and to the point that you are even uncomfortable going to, you know, or being around them.
That's true.
Thinking about them. I'm seeing somebody called Grace. Who's Grace? Has she been one of them? Has she said anything about your situation?
She did in the past.
She did in the past. Okay, anyway, in the name of Jesus, I release.
She did in the past, and I cut myself off.
You cut yourself off, Okay. Riyamazanta labakrazi terisho roma. Riyamazanta labakrasha terisho roma zito rosha. But also, she's not doing well. I saw as if, like, during lockdown, things happened and so on. The COVID thing, anyhow, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I release you to a new season, a new wonderful season, and you will testify of the goodness of the Lord in Jesus' name. When you stand up, and the people who belittled you are now running to you for help, and now running to you for help, and then you're flying out of the country, going to do this, flying out of the country, going to do this and what, and then you say, let me wait until I come back. I'm going somewhere. Yeah, and because that's the sort of job I'm seeing, which involves a lot of movement. In the name of Jesus, receive it.
Amen.
Okay. And that is true for so many people here. You heard what I said. You receive it, everybody who is there, who has been in a season where you're being belittled for doing nothing, for apparently nothing happening in your life. And now you're receiving an anointing to confound people. In the name of Jesus, now you are getting into a place where everything that has been cooking behind the scenes is unveiled before you. And everything that the enemy has stolen comes back sevenfold in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And the people, you will confound the people who spoke things about you. You will confound them. And they will know. And they will see that there is something working in your life. Eh? They will see that something is working in your life because it happens very, very fast. Eh? Very, very speedily. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Recobra. Say amen.
Amen.
Receive it. Eh? Say receive it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.